Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show, helping you do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Thanks for downloading and listening. This is a practical show rooted in common sense, meaning I don't go tin foil hat on you. I just try to keep the concept of preparedness and survival down to a common sense level. And, you know, Teddy Roosevelt said it best many times, many years ago, when he said, do what you can with what you have wherever you are. And that's why I like to use that introductory line. It's about the power of choice and what you decide to do with it. So this show is entitled Dog versus Burglar. And it's kind of a follow-up to my previous episode, which was episode 137, on home security. I got an interesting comment from a listener, which kind of inspired me to do this show. And you know, folks, normally I don't do two shows in 1 week. I've turned today's survival show pretty much into a weekly show. But I wanted to get this posted and in relatively short order after posting the last one, because there were some things I forgot to cover when I talked about securing your home or securing your business. And because of an email that I recently got from a listener regarding episode 137, I wanted to record this and also a couple of things that I forgot to mention earlier. So let me dive right into it and tell you why I called this Dog versus Burglar. Let's see, this email, I want to share this with you. Jim in California recently wrote to me, and I'm going to go ahead and give you his email here word for word. It's not very long, but I think it's well worth mentioning. He said, Bob, I enjoyed the home security show with one exception. I'm pretty shocked that in a show focused on home and perimeter security, the only mention of dogs was how you and your wife accidentally tripped the door alarm when letting yours out to pee. I'm not sure if that was a minor slip-up or part of your salesman bias for high-tech products. There are some things why animals, primarily dogs, are superior to technology solutions. Animals have other senses such as hearing, feel, and smell that can alert them to items a motion-sensing camera cannot. Animals aren't stationary, so there's fewer blind spot zones. Animals don't require electricity for those power outages that extend longer than battery backups. And of course, animals are also EMP proof. A gun in hand may be the fastest draw, but at 2 a.m., dogs can go and respond to intruders much faster than you can shake off the grogginess and hit the panic button, buying you valuable time. Animals can provide better legal defense if you have to shoot. For example, if intruders shoot the dog, you better fear for your life, show the bad guys are willing to kill. In a bug out, you can take your security with you. Door-to-door salespeople are not deterred at dinner time by cameras. People won't give you weird looks if you hug or kiss your pet. And no amount of ketchup makes IP cameras taste good. Like every solution, there are pros and cons to pets. I wouldn't rely strictly on them, but as a prepper, a multi-layered security approach, I believe, is better. Jim in California. And, you know, I gotta say that this is a very well-written email. So, Jim, you make some excellent points. Thanks for sending them to me. I appreciate that. And, you know, folks, this is why I like getting comments like this, because I really believe that when I get comments like this, it strengthens the show. Let me address this email now. First of all, again, these are terrific comments. These are all very, very valid points, except for a couple of them. And I just want to say this, Jim. First of all, there was no salesman bias for high-tech products on my part. You know, most people who listen to this show know that I am in the business of selling security equipment of all types, residential, commercial, and even industrial. This podcast is one of the very few opportunities that I get to get away from my job, to not put my salesman bias into it. Just because this is my business doesn't mean that I was slanting it towards what I sell. You know, I got to tell you, folks, this is based on experience. This is based on quite a few years of me dealing with people that have been broken into and had their security breached. So, no salesman bias to high-tech solutions. You know, it may have sounded that way, and if it did sound that way, I apologize, and I didn't mean to come across that way, like I was trying to slant it towards the purchase of high-tech security products. Okay, the other part of this comment that I want to take a little bit of issue with is I'm not quite so sure about the legal argument there that you make, Jim. Not quite so sure about the fact that if you've got dogs in the house and a burglar shoots the dog, that you've got much of a legal argument that he was trying to harm you. I don't know. You know, I mean, I've spent a lot of time, you know, studying the aftermath of a shooting. And if you read some of Masoud Ayoub's writings and some of his videos and some of Masoud Ayoub's teachings, and by the way, Masoud Ayoub is part of the Pro Arms podcast. If you analyze some of his data, I'm not so sure if, based on a lot of the stuff that he says, and he's very much an expert in the field of what happens after you shoot somebody, I'm not so sure that he would agree that if somebody comes in your house and shoots your dog, that you have a legal right to blow him away. You know what? That's a good question. I think I might even email Mass on that and see what he has to say. Otherwise, very, very good comments, Jim. You know, you're right. I didn't think about that. I forgot to talk about dogs as part of your security. Now, I want to say, please don't rely on dogs too much. And Jim says that in his email here. His last sentence, he says, I wouldn't rely strictly on them. Very good point. Let me share some things with you about dogs, because a lot of people use dogs as a false sense of security within their house. It doesn't work that way, and I don't want you to just hear it from me, okay? I don't want to just talk about this. Listen, I have a couple of audio clips for you. I'm going to go ahead and play them for you right now. Listen to these. Both of these involve dogs being killed when a burglar breaks into a house. Listen carefully. Here's a couple of news reports you may find interesting.
Man's best friend, a faithful companion ready to protect her family and her home. But when this dog went to stop a burglar who broke into her Cape Coral residence recently, she was shot by the assailant and found dead by her owner just a short time later.
A burglar broke into the house and the dog tried to defend the house. And apparently the suspect was armed and killed the dog.
The incident occurred in the early morning hours of May 17th. The victim returned home just before 3 a.m., only to find that his home had been broken into, his window shattered, and his dog killed. Detectives believe the suspect entered through the back window of the residence and probably didn't expect to be greeted by Divinity, the family dog.
The shots weren't just random. They appeared to go down in a downward motion, probably shooting at the dog, either while he's coming after him or maybe trying to attack him.
Detectives say something that may assist with solving this case is DNA evidence. Blood samples were taken from the dog shortly after it was killed, and those blood samples could be linked back to the person that broke in. But in the meantime, the public is asked to come forward with any information they have on the burglary from that night.
Detectives are hopeful the unusual nature of this crime will have people talking, and that someone will come forward with information.
Someone had dog bites, and you know, maybe a relative, a friend, or an acquaintance noticed them, and they really couldn't explain it.
Although it seems the suspect was scared off before they had a chance to steal any property, they stole something far more important to the victim, the life of the family pet. And once they're caught, they'll be charged with armed burglary, cruelty to animals, and two other felony charges. For Southwest Florida Crime Stoppers, I'm Trish Rout.
Our Chris Martinez is live in St. Petersburg, where police are searching for a burglar who broke into a man's house and then killed his dog. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Wendy. Yeah, the victim here thinks this same burglar has targeted his house two times just this week. And now tonight, his dog is dead, and the guy behind all of this is still on the loose.
Pretty much took all everything.
Losing his stuff in a first burglary was bad enough, but it's what happened the second time Lewis Russell's home was hit. That's the hardest to take.
It's just people are cruel. They're just not right.
Lewis was coming home for lunch today when he saw a man running from his St. Pete home. His first instinct was to chase the burglar down, but Lewis instead turned to his neighbor for help.
And she said she heard my dog barking and a couple gunshots, and he wasn't barking no more. So I go inside there, and I look in the hallway, and yeah, he's shot in the face and shot in the chest.
The 5-year-old pit bull terrier, the dog Lewis says was like his kid, was alive but barely. And all efforts at an animal hospital wouldn't be enough to save his life. Lewis got just a glimpse of the man he says shot his dog, enough to give a description to police. And tonight, he has a few ideas himself of who the burglar might be.
You know, and in within a week, they come in twice. So it's someone that knows me.
And Lewis was also able to give a description of the car that he saw in front of his house to police. He says it was an 80s model, blue-colored Buick Regal with very, very dark tips. So if you think you've seen that car, or if you have any tips that you think could help solve this one, St. Pete Police would like to hear from you. Reporting live tonight, I'm Chris Martinez, ABC Action News.
Okay, both of those are very tragic stories. I love pets, folks. I especially love dogs. And I bet you love your pets, too. And I think it's going to be very hard for you to listen to this show without being emotional. Trust me, folks, it's hard for me to do this show without being emotional because I absolutely love pets, especially dogs. And I have a dog, okay? But you got to understand that burglars are armed more than ever these days, and they're not afraid to shoot dogs. They're not afraid to poison dogs. They're not afraid to shoot dogs. They're not afraid to distract dogs. And the myth that dogs are going to scare away attackers is, I think, becoming more and more of a myth. It happens, okay? It does. There are, you know what? You could Google the internet and you could probably find plenty of examples where dogs have scared away intruders. Not professional criminals, okay? And you got to understand, there's a lot of bold, brazen criminals out there that are professional criminals. That was the point that I made in the last podcast. People who are professionals, who are armed and dangerous, are going to shoot dogs just like the examples in these two news podcasts, okay? And furthermore, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but now you've lost a pet. Not only have you lost possibly some things in your home, but you've lost a family member. You've lost a pet, a beloved pet. I love my dog, okay? You know what? And I'm going to say this, folks. Sometimes the reason to have a security system is to protect your pets, too. I'm serious. You know, nothing beats a security system, folks. You know, you don't have to feed your security system. You don't have to take your, your alarm system. You don't have to feed it. You don't have to take it to the vet. You don't have to incur large food bills to support your security system. Okay? You don't have to raise your security system and your camera system from a puppy and deal with the peeing and the pooping on the floor and the vomiting and everything that dogs do when they're puppies. A security system doesn't tear up your carpet. It doesn't chew on furniture. It doesn't chew on the outside of your doors, which I've had dogs do to me before. I love dogs. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I don't love dogs, and I have a dog, and I'll always have a dog. And dogs are a great sense of emotional comfort for me, but they are not my security system. Nor should I think dogs should be yours. And Jim from California brought up some great points in this email that he sent me. I just want to put out the message, please don't rely on your animal as the sole protector of your house. Yes, they are one layer of protection. And yes, a dog could be an early warning system. I guess you could look at a dog that way. Yes, they can warn you if there's somebody out there trying to mess with you or your house. And they often do, but they can be defeated. One of those dogs in the newscast that I just played was a pit bull. So for those of you who think you have these big, mean, nasty dogs, a big, mean, nasty dog, I don't care what they are, can't stand up too well to a couple of well-placed bullets. Okay? Think about that. Now, there's something else called the dog bite law that I want to share with you. And this is something you need to think about. If you're going to use dogs as part of your security within your home, Why don't you listen to what I have to share with you here? There is a website called dogbitelaw.com, dogbitelaw.com. I'll put a link in the show notes for it. But listen to this post on their website. I am a single woman and I'm going to get a dog for protection. I think it's the best choice. Many experts feel that a simple burglar alarm is safer, less expensive, and better protection than a dog. Furthermore, it presents less risk of financial and career ruin. It's safer for several reasons. Now, again, the woman wrote in saying she was going to get a dog for protection. She thought it was the best choice. The rebuttal from the website is this. Okay, burglars often steal or even kill dogs. Well, I just proved that to you in playing those two news clips. An alarm system will also provide protection against fire. Like I mentioned in the previous podcast, your dog can't call the fire department. Your dog can't call 911. A really good alarm system can be hooked to a good monitoring company, which will send professional help to your home in the event of a problem. Dogs can't do that. Most dramatically, out of 177 people killed by dogs, only one was a burglar. But 7 out of 10 of them were kids. I'll say that again. Out of 177 people killed by dogs, this was a recent study that was done, only one was a burglar, but 7 out of 10 of them were children. The myth of your big bad dog running down a burglar and killing him, folks, is pretty much a rare case. Think about this. A burglar alarm is only a one-time cost. And although they make phone calls and they have monthly fees and possible per-use fees too, the upfront initial installation is a one-time cost. Dogs have to be fed, taken to the vet, and all the things that I mentioned earlier. More importantly, something else to think about here is that you have to spend time with your dog every day, but not your burglar alarm. A burglar alarm presents no possibility of financial ruin or career ruin, but think about this, a dog does. If your dog bites someone in the face, even if they're a criminal trying to break into your home, folks, you know what? We all live in different states and different countries. There's a lot of litigious societies out there, are there not? There's a lot of states where dog bite laws and laws, if you have an animal that harms somebody, you could be in a world of hurt with regards to lawsuits. If your dog bites somebody in the face, the losses can ruin into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. It can run into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Your insurance might not be sufficient to cover losses of a couple of hundred thousand dollars. Okay, it wouldn't be a bad idea, folks, to have an umbrella policy. I do. I have a $1 million umbrella policy through my casualty insurance agent. Not because I have a dog, because my dog is a little 14-pound Bichon that isn't going to hurt anybody. Okay, there's a lot of reasons why I have an umbrella policy, because it's a very good idea. It's cheap. It doesn't cost much, and it protects me for a lot of things like this. Some people who own dogs don't even have any insurance at all, which I believe is irresponsible. Especially when you consider the fact that a dog bite victim will often be a friend or a family member. And again, even if it's a criminal, folks, if the criminal lives, your dog attacks that criminal? I'm sorry, folks, you're probably going to get dragged into a lawsuit. If you're faced with having to pay a huge amount of damages out of your own pocket, you only have two choices, both are which are life-changing. And those two choices are, you're either going to declare bankruptcy, or you'll have to pay off a judgment from what might be the rest of your life. And the second choice is, you're either going to have to declare bankruptcy, or you're going to have to pay off a judgment. Both of them, you'll be further impacted, because people who declare bankruptcy and have large judgments against them cannot later on borrow money very easily. And you can't get funding to start companies. And frequently you're not promoted because of doubts about how they behaved or handled themselves in the past. So this is, I love the way they close this article. If you're going to use a dog for protection, ask yourself whether it's reasonable to think that these risks are worth the protection. A lot of people don't believe that they are, but the choice really is yours. The choice might not be yours forever. The government is getting tired of the dog bite epidemic, and they're beginning to take measures that take away some choices for dog owners. Now, here's some examples. There are a lot of breeds that are outlawed in some places, and special insurance is required in other places just to own dogs that have the potential to harm somebody. The insurance industry is making it harder to insure certain kinds of dogs, and in some parts of the country, the insurance industry is trying to exclude dogs from their normal policies. Now, the only way for a dog owner to reverse this trend is to be more responsible and prevent dog bites. So this is one of the things that, you know, if you're considering, well, gee, should I get a burglar alarm or a protection dog? I wanted to lay this argument out for you. And as Jim said in his email, they are part of protection, but I tell you what, I don't know. I think I'd shy away. I think I would shy away from having a big attack dog as protection for some of the reasons that I just talked about. And if you're going to analyze this from a cost perspective, how much does it cost you to raise your dog over its lifetime? Why don't you own a dog for owning a dog? Why don't you own them for the love that they give you and your family? Why don't you own an animal for the precious gifts that they are? And own an animal for that reason. I wouldn't own a dog for protection. I wouldn't. Unless you are prepared to insulate yourself with the insurance and the responsibility necessary, because it is a risk. And so really, Jim, I'm glad you emailed me this, because, you know, it's something that you reminded me of a message I want to get out there. And although I agree with you, I disagree with you on a lot of it. And, you know, folks, I have been to many people's homes before, many of them. I've lost count. They were buying an alarm system from me, and they had two huge dogs. I remember one case very specifically about 6 years ago. This is not salesman bias. This is a fact. It's not salesman bias. It's a fact. I was with one of my customers, an alarm installer, and he wanted me to go to answer some technical questions about the product, so I went. It was an elderly lady who lived alone. You should have seen the size of her Rottweilers, two of them. They were massive, okay? One of them had 40 stitches. It was recovering. The dog barely lived because while the lady was gone, three burglars. They found out later, three guys broke into her house. She was visiting her grandchildren. Thank God she was not there. Three burglars, two of them armed, broke into their house. One of the dogs was shot. The other Rottweiler, these big, bad, mean Rottweilers, you know what the other one did when the first one got shot? It ran. It heard the gunfire and it ran. Her house was robbed anyway, and one of her dogs almost died and had 40 stitches. You can't rely on them, folks. And no matter how big and bad and mean you think your dog is, they can be intimidated oftentimes with gunshots, or they can be disabled with gunshots, as you heard in those two news reports I played. And I just picked two of them. There are many, many more like that. Now, on the positive side, there are many reports of dogs scaring away burglars, but I just wanted to point out the risks, because there are huge risks that you're going to take if you are going to have animals in your home that have the propensity to attack people. I feel strongly about that, and I'm real glad that Jim sent me this email, because he makes great points, as I mentioned. His email is very, very good, and he brings up some good ideas, and I'm a little hesitant to recommend that a dog be part of your protection, but I'll say that if you're going to have any kind of an animal designed to protect your home, take the necessary precautions to protect yourself. This is part of survival, folks. It's part of common sense survival, okay? So take some precautions to insulate and insure yourself. Okay, now, on a different subject, I do want to talk about a couple of other things I forgot, and then I'll wrap this up. It'll be a pretty short podcast here. I also forgot about talking to you about changing out some of the hardware. Changing out your door locking hardware. You can keep the same hardware if it's good quality, but use longer screws. Get longer screws for your strike plates and for your door hardware so that you drive the screws into the 2x4 frame around your doors. Instead of, you know, if you look at the way your doors are constructed, folks, you know, your mounting hardware, it's secured by these little quarter inch screws that are screwed into the very weak wood that is in your door jamb. Folks, it's not the door that breaks, it's the door jamb that breaks when somebody kicks in your door. You can help prevent that. One of the things that you can do is you can get some good 4-inch screws or 3.5-inch screws. And you can get some good wood screws, take out the little piece of junk quarter-inch screws that are in there and put in the longer ones, and you'll feel that screw go into the 2x4 frame. That's what you want. Replace all the screws with longer ones so that it's into the 2x4 frame, and that way it's going to give it more strength. Trust me, it's a lot harder for your door to be kicked in and breached. I'm not saying impossible, but a lot harder if you just take that simple step. And what does it cost you? A couple bucks for the screws? It's very cheap. All right, so that's it. That's the only message that I wanted to communicate. Again, a relatively short podcast. I will go ahead and call this episode 138, even though it's a shorter than normal show. And so you got two shows this week, folks. And, you know, if you have more comments and stuff, keep it coming. So my name is Bob Main, and you've just listened to another episode of today's Survival Show, where it's my goal to help you do what you can with what you have. Wherever you are. Keep your homes safe, folks. Get the dogs because you love them. And I'll talk to you later. Catch you next time. Goodbye.